Second Peter, a little book way over in the back of your Bible. The third chapter, and we're going to begin reading with verse number 10. Verse number 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of the Lord, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. That's very important. If I were you, I would underscore those three words. That ye be found of him in peace. It is very important that we maintain peace in our hearts. Without spot, that is very important. And blemish or blameless. Now that means the blamelessness that is spoken of here is the accusations that Satan may be able to bring against you, or the torment that Satan may be able to bring against you, that he would be able to blame you and it be true. You follow what I'm saying? See, you're going to be blamed for a lot of things. But it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be true. Amen? People tell all kinds of things on me. I'm glad it's not true. Amen. That's right. And they're going to tell things on you. They're going to talk about you. They're going to say things against you. You know, all kinds of things. But you walk blameless. That means that there's no truth in what they're saying. See? You want to strive for that. Okay? Verse 15. An account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also according to the wisdom given unto him hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, that they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Now, I am continuing the series of messages on the path to the deeper life, the path to that deeper spiritual experience and relationship to God, Son, and with the Holy Spirit. Because to me, these are very important to us. Let me read once again verses 17 and 18, and you follow me closely there. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before. Now, what things do you know before? What is he speaking about? What have I been reading to you about? He says, seeing that you know these things before, you know that Jesus is, you know the day of the Lord is coming. You know you should be without spot. You should be blameless. You know you should have peace. These are the things. But one thing particularly that you want to note is what he says in verse number 16. He says, as also in all his epistles, speaking of Paul, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood. Now, Peter recognized that some of the writings of Paul was very difficult to understand. Then he goes on to say, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Then he goes right into it and says, therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things. You know what, Brother Gorman?
You know that there are people that are wrestling, or they're twisting, or they're warping, or they're taking a scripture out of its context to make it say what they want it to say. And that is poison. You can destroy yourself spiritually by taking scriptures out of their context, by taking scripture and trying to make it fit your situation. Don't force the scripture. Let the word of God speak. Let the word of God say what it says. And then you allow the Holy Spirit to bring your life in conformity to the word of the living God. Don't try to take the scriptures and twist this one and twist that one to make it say what you want it to say, or make it fit your particular situation or the circumstance that you find yourself in. If you're in a situation that is uncomfortable, don't try to force the scripture. Allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life to make you and to conform you to what God wants you to be. Hallelujah. Let the word speak. We have a lot of people today that are wrestling, or they're taking the scriptures and they're twisting them. They're taking hold to the word and trying to make it say what they want it to say, trying to bypass the crucified life. And there is no bypass. Because when you begin to try to take the scripture and try to make it be what you want it to be, or say what you want it to say, trying to take the scripture and fit it into your situation, you're opening yourself up then for Satan to destroy you. Because you'll try to stand upon that scripture, and you cannot stand on that which is not true. You follow me? See, you can't stand on that which is not true. It's got to be true. Now, you can take the word of God and twist the word of God to where it does not say at all what you're trying to make it say. And then when you try to stand upon it, or you try to make it work, it won't work. But God will honor his word when you take it as it is. Believe in it, trust in it, adhere to it. God will honor it. Not part of the time, every time God will honor it. God honors his word. God honors the scripture. Now, he said there are people who are wrestling the scriptures. They're taking the scriptures and they're twisting them around. They're doing this. And he said it's to their own destruction. He said, therefore you know this, so beware of it. Hallelujah. You know it, so watch out for it. You know it, so don't be caught. You know it, so put up your guard. Protect yourself. Shield yourself from those things. A few minutes ago, I received a letter from a person that I had not seen in many, many years. This young lady at one time was married to the closest friend that I have. This boy was as close to me as my own brother. They separated. He backslid, lost out with God, got involved in things he had no business. Now today she's remarried. He was a minister. They were in the ministry. Today both of them are remarried. She's attending a church that does not even believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And she said, oh, what I would give if I could just sit down and talk to you. So I picked up the phone and I called her. And I told her, I said, Marilyn, you know where you need to be. Amen. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to talk to you just like it is tonight. So you may as well put on your asbestos suit and sit with it. You can't be Pentecostal and eat a non-Pentecostal diet. I don't care if you're a Catholic Pentecostal, you got to talk in tongues. And you got to get somewhere where you can talk in tongues. You've got to get somewhere where they believe in the power of God to heal. You've got to get somewhere where they believe in the power of God to deliver. You've got to get somewhere where that the Pentecostal experience can be administered. You can be free. You can rejoice. You can have liberty and freedom in God. You've got to get there. I don't care who you are. A Baptist has got to do the same thing. A Methodist has got to do the same thing. You don't have to join this church. You don't have to join a church down the street. But you got to get somewhere where you can have liberty and freedom and the things of God. And you can twist the scriptures and you can try to justify it. And you can say, well, Brother Gorman, but I'm staying there because of this, or I'm staying there because of that. But if you're not careful, you're going to sit there and dry up and lose what God has given you. He said, but Brother Gorman, I didn't think he could lose it. Well, I want you to know Peter wasn't drunk when he wrote this. It's recorded in the book. And here's what he said. But you know these things before. Beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your steadfastness. You can't fall from that which you don't have. Amen? I can't fall off of this building if I'm not on it. Amen? You can't fall from something that you don't have. He says, you must watch, or you'll fall from your own steadfastness. You'll lose the touch of God upon your life. Some of you people have received glorious and beautiful experiences in God, but you've got to give way for that experience to be manifest through your heart and through your life. You've got to walk. If you'll turn to 1 John chapter number 1, verse number 7, you'll find that the scripture very emphatically says there, walk in the light as he is in the light, and you have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses you from all unrighteousness. How are you cleansed from unrighteousness? Walking in the light that you have. What does he mean by walking in the light that you have? Well, it means that Larry Seymour knows that a man can be totally set free from the powers of satanic force. Larry Seymour knows that God's power is able to deliver him from any kind of sin that he can have. Now then, Larry Seymour must walk in that light. He can't go around here and say, well, you know, I know that God delivered me one time, but it's still okay, you know, to just gamble occasionally. It's okay to just have a cocktail occasionally. It's okay. No, 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 Larry, you can't do that. You've got to come out from among them. That's what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. Be ye separate, thus saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean things, and then I'll receive you. I'll be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. And this is what every one of us has got to do. Not just me, not just for the minister. We've got to walk in the light that God has given us. As we walk in that light, we have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that fellowship and that communion that we have constantly pours over our soul his divine grace and keeps us cleansed from all sin. And someone said to me, he said, Brother Gorman, do you believe that a person never sins? No, I don't believe that. See? But when I'm walking in the light as he is in the light, when I'm walking with Jesus, when I'm going along with him, then his continual grace is flowing over me. And every sin that tries to touch me just washes it away. Amen? That's a continuation. Walk in the light as he is in the light. Walk in the understanding. Walk with the knowledge. Walk with the knowledge that God has given you. Amen? Now, I'm not going to put her on the spot. I'm just going to say this. She doesn't know that I know this. But God has pointed out things to her in the last 2 months that she must do. That if 5 months ago I would have told her, she'd have become angry at me. Right? Amen? See, now she got to walk in that light. She can't turn back and say, oh, but God, you didn't show me that. God, you know, wait a minute, God. Now she got to walk in the light. God gives you what you're able to bear. God gives you what you're able to take. He doesn't put more on you than what you are able to do. But then when he shows you something, he expects you to do it. When he shows you that this thing is wrong, then you're supposed to give it up. Whenever he shows you that you should no longer affiliate with this particular program or with these particular people or this particular thing, then you have to make the decision to come away. Someone said, well, if God doesn't want me there, he can move me. No, that's not going to move you anywhere. God's not going to drag you into heaven. If you get there, you're going to get up, bless God, and follow the Lord Jesus Christ whithersoever he would have you to go, and it's going to end up in the glory world. He's not going to drag me into heaven, nor you, nor no one else. The Lord is calling us. He expects us to obey. The Lord has shown us a better way. He's shown us joy that we didn't have. He's given us peace that we couldn't find. He set us free from bondages that we could not be freed from. And now that he expects us out of love and sincerity to follow him and to obey him, it's left up to us to get up and to do what God wants us to do. Amen. Hallelujah. I could just go down any aisle I want to in here and begin to point you out are people that God set free, people that God's done things for. Amen? And now then you've got to walk in that light. You've got to walk in that light. You've got to walk with that understanding that he's given you. And as you walk with him, you have fellowship one with the other. Amen? And you know what that does? That makes you more acquainted with Jesus Christ. And you know what happens when you get better acquainted with Jesus Christ? You just start having faith that you never thought you had. Amen? You start having faith to believe God. You start having blessings. Hallelujah. God starts using you, and God starts sharing things with you. He starts opening your understanding, and the first thing you know, you begin to read the Bible, and you say, man, I never, look how beautiful. You begin to pray, and when you're praying, God begins to drop things into your heart. He begins to show you things that he's going to do. My, look, the Lord's showing me this. It's all because that you're having, the more time you spend with the Lord, the more secrets he's going to let you in on. The more time you spend with the Lord, the more joy you're going to have, the more happiness you're going to have, the more strength you're going to have, the more faith you're going to have. Oh, bless God. When I spend time with him and when I walk with him, he begins to let me know through the Spirit the things he wants to do, the things he wants to say, the things he wants to accomplish, and my faith begins to rise, hallelujah, because I'm walking with him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I'm able to ask or to even think. You believe that? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, beloved, the Holy Spirit takes us and begins to unfold to us things that God wants to do. Now, let me just give you an illustration. Last Thursday, I was praying, and the Lord just showed me. Just for a minute, it was just like a big screen that just went before me. And I saw myself sitting here on the platform during the time of the telethon. And I got up and walked down and laid my hands on a person and began to pray for him. And when I did, they received the baptism right there in front of the television camera. And I mean, they just started speaking just like that. So I said, oh, boy. And I said, Lord, is that really going, you know, is that really what you want to do to Friday night? So Friday, I purposed in my heart to take no phone calls. If you call the house Friday and you got a busy signal, funny, those phones will ring when they're off the hook. But I didn't want to be disturbed because I had to be alone with God. My family was gone, and I was praying, and I was waiting before God, and I was kneeling at the foot of my bed. At about 3 o'clock on Friday afternoon, while I was kneeling there praying, again, I saw this big screen, and I saw myself praying for this person, and they received the Holy Spirit. And I said to the Lord, Lord, you really want me to do that tonight? And the Lord whispered to me and said, I will tell you when to call for them, and they'll be received. And that they will be filled while you pray for them right there on the screen. Amen? Now, I knew before I ever got here, I knew that was going to happen. So when the right time came, the Holy Spirit was moving. And to show you how God confirms it, Vicki leaned over and kind of punched me in the arm and says, don't you feel it's about time to pray for the Holy Ghost? I said, I was just getting up. And I was already pushing my chair back to get up, to pray for people, to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And as I called for people, you remember the two people right here in the second row, they came first, and then there was two others that came down, and then several lined up there. Well, these people began to receive the Holy Spirit. Well, you know what that did? People saw that. And people across the city started receiving the Holy Spirit as they were sitting in front of the television watching it. Hallelujah. And there was a minister that was baptized in the Holy Spirit in the city. As he was sitting there watching it, we had two other ministers that called in, and they want to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Nothing will make a Methodist church run any better than a Holy Ghost-filled pastor, or a Baptist, or a Presbyterian, or a Lutheran. I don't want them to change to the Assembly of God. Bless God, fill them with the Holy Ghost, and turn them loose. Hallelujah. Let them be. Glory be to God. Oh, this is real. This is genuine. But this is what I'm talking about. When you walk with God, he talks to you. Glory be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you walk with the Lord, he communicates to you. He shares things with you. He opens your understanding. He reveals things to you. Oh, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. If you and I were walking down the sidewalk, we wouldn't just walk along there and never say a word to anybody, would we? No, we'd talk about it. We'd talk about things. But when you're walking with the Lord, he talks with you. He reveals things to you. He opens your understanding to things. He shares things with you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You see, many people are worrying about, boy, I wish I could give up this. I sure wish I could quit this sin. Boy, I tell you, I wish I could get over this. I've never asked Betty. One of these days I'm going to ask her, though. How about this old boy got so madly in love with her whenever he was courting her that he didn't care whether he ate or not? That's right. I don't have to ask her, huh? Man, he couldn't sleep. All he wanted to do was be with her. Wanted to talk to her. Wanted to be with her. Wanted to share with her. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, if he had thought that she wanted him to wear a polka dot tie with a striped shirt, he would have had it on. Never found, it wouldn't have mattered what any of you thought. That's what she wanted. Amen? It wouldn't have mattered because that's what she wanted. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. If you walk with Jesus, you're not going to have any problem doing the right thing. If I can just get you to get up in the morning and say, hey, Jesus, come on, let's go. And as you walk along with him through the day, talk to him. Talk to him. Say, thank you, Lord, for being with me. Recognize that he's there. Amen? And when you're just about to get mad and lose your temper, you'll say, oh, he's here. I better not say that. Amen? When you're about to do something you shouldn't do, when you're about to, you know, to participate in something you shouldn't, it's a conscious thing. You'll know that he's there. You'll know that. You'll understand that. See, it's an awareness that Christ is with you, that he's there, that he's there. When you're aware that Christ is there, that's the thing. That's the whole problem. See, people getting in their heads that they're with Jesus tonight, but tomorrow they're alone. You're not going to be alone. You're never alone. See, and when you start recognizing that Jesus is with you all the time, he never leaves you, he never forsakes you, it's going to help you then to live the kind of life you want to live. And all those problems you're having, all those difficulties you're having, all the worrying and the fretting and the things you're trying to overcome, all of that kind of thing, it's going to begin to disappear because you're going to recognize that Christ is there. See, when you're in his presence, recognizing his presence, acknowledging his presence, I'll never forget the day that God spoke to me and said, practice the presence of God. And I said, what? I've never heard that. He said, practice the presence of God. And I said, what are you talking about? What? I'll never forget this. I was in district work. I was Volkswagen down the highway. I'd been praying and seeking God. And God said, practice the presence of God. And I said, what am I supposed to do? Practice the presence of God. And God said, I'm here. I've been here all day. And you thought I only got here when you started praying. But I've been here. And I started weeping. It just tore me up. And I thought, oh, Lord, here I have. I've been driving all day. And you've been so faithful to sit here beside me. And I haven't said one word to you till I started praying. Haven't even acknowledged that you were here. haven't even acknowledged that I was in your presence.
To be honest with you, Lord, haven't said one word to you all day till I started praying. And here you are. Been here all day. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I know sometimes it'll get you in a little trouble, because when you start practicing the presence of God, you're feeling near. You're feeling near. And the first thing you know, you'll be saying, "Thank you, Lord." And you say it at the wrong place. I'm teasing. That's right. It's not the wrong place. But in which to the world, it's the wrong place. See? But you say, "Thank you, Lord." Amen? Hallelujah. And when you practice in the presence of the Lord, it's easy to stay happy. It's easy to smile. Amen? I got on the elevator at the Baptist Hospital Monday. I'd gone up to see Sister Springer. She'd been calling for me. And I got on the elevator. And so I'd been whistling. And so, you know, I felt the Lord. He was with me. I'd been around there. I'd talked with her. I'd prayed with her. And I got back on the elevator. And I started down. And it was filled with people. And so another guy tried to get on. And so barely squeezed in. And so I was just thinking about the Lord. And I said, you know, and I really didn't, it never did on me, you know. And so I just smiled at him, just, you know. But this is what happens when you practice the presence of the Lord. When you know he's there, amen, when you know he's there, glory to God. This old business of sin. Brother Gorman, and I get these calls so many times, "Brother Gorman, the Lord's not with me anymore. The Lord's not here. I can't feel him." He's there. Talk to him. Talk to him. Talk to him. Amen? Now, Brother Gorman's not trying to be ugly. I'm trying to help you. So I'm going to do a few things right now, but some of you may think I'm trying to be ugly to you, but I'm not. If I came to see you, and all the time that I was there, here's the way you talk to me. "Brother Garvin, did you know?" I'd check out. Now, I'm not allowed praying. And sometimes I get excited and I get loud. But don't scream at him all the time. He's right there. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? Just talk to him. Just talk to him. Just talk some things over with him that you don't want anyone else in all the world to hear. Just tell him how much you love him, how much you appreciate him. Just talk it over with him. He sticketh closer than a brother. Hallelujah. And if you do that, you'll find your faith will best begin to rise. Glory, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And as your faith begins to rise and begins to soar, you'll see things begin to happen in your own life. Things will begin to work. The gifts. See, the gifts of the Spirit operate through a life that is walking and flowing in the Spirit. Amen? The gift of the word of knowledge operates because of your walking in the Spirit. The gift of the word of wisdom, see? The gifts of the Spirit operate as you walk in the Spirit, as you flow in the Spirit. These is how the gifts operate. Now, see, you want to live a life that's overcoming. Man, if someone would have just told me some of this, and you've heard me say this before, whenever I was a teenage boy, but I almost had a nervous breakdown trying to force myself to quit certain things I knew was wrong. Amen? Now, I'm going to close in just a moment, but I'm going to deal with things that God shows you that are wrong. You'll be floating along one day, and suddenly the Holy Spirit will just rise up and speak to you and say, "You shouldn't do that anymore." So, say, "Okay, then I won't do that anymore." So then you start taking yourself and you're going to make yourself not do it. You can't do that. You drive yourself up a wall. So you can't deliver yourself. You cannot make yourself holy. You understand that? You can't do it. If you could do that, then Jesus would have never had to die. See, it's got to be the work of God in you. So how do you overcome that thing that the Lord showed you? Say, "Well, thank you, Lord. I want you to help me not to do that anymore." Just make me conscious. Make me aware of that, Lord. And just stay right here with me. And then continue to practice the presence of God. And the Holy Spirit will just start working in you. And then one day you reckon, you say, hey, you know, that thing hadn't bothered me since way the other day when the Lord told me about that. But you start worrying about it, and the devil say, I've got him now, boy. I'm going to sit on their pillow tonight, and every time they try to go to sleep, I'm going to whisper it in their ear so they'll dream about it. And you dream about things, that doing things that you know are wrong. You dream about sins that you know you shouldn't be committing. You dream about all that stuff. That's because you're letting it dwell in your mind. That's because, oh, glory be to God. The best way to go to sleep is go to sleep talking in tongues. You think that don't confuse the devil? He don't know what you're thinking when you kick off. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's the truth. This is one of the best ways for you to relax and to kick off to sleep. It's just praying in the Holy Spirit. And see, don't start. If God shows you something that's wrong, don't say, oh, bless God, I'm not going to do that anymore. Just say, Lord, I want you to help me not do that anymore. Help me, Lord. Help me. And make me conscious. Don't be afraid to put God as your watch. Hallelujah. Some people always talk about, you know, Gregory, I just can't get up and pray. You know, I'd really like to get up, but man alive, I just can't get up and pray. I challenge you to say, God, wake me up at 4 o'clock and I'll pray. That's right, it'll work every time. He's got the best alarm clock you ever seen, friend. Just say, Lord, wake me up. I've said to the Lord on occasions, Lord, when you want me to get up and pray, cause me to be awakened. And I mean, maybe 2 o'clock in the morning, the Lord will cause me. You say, but Brother Gordon, I can't rest. You get up and pray right before God, and you go back to bed, and you'll drop right off to sleep, and your rest will be so restful that you'll catch up. You won't notice it. You say, Brother Gorman, will that really work? Well, you either got to take my word or try it for yourself one. Try it. Try it and see. See, this is all in the business of practicing the presence of God, Ron. And that's how close God is to you. That's how close a tab God keeps on you. That's how close a tab he keeps on you. But he knows when you want to get up. Ask him to wake you up. Just pray and just say, when you're praying, Lord, cause me to awake in the morning, and I'll get up and I'll pray. Get me up an hour early, Lord, and I'll pray an hour before I go to work. Hallelujah. I challenge you to. Hallelujah. Watch what God will do. See, what I want you to do is to practice the presence of God. Understand that this God we serve is not way yonder somewhere, but it takes you 50 days to get a prayer through. You know, you got to throw it to this wave and to that wave and to another wave, and eventually it gets to him. He's here. He's here. He's here. He's here. I want you to know that. I want you to practice that. Hallelujah. I want you to understand that. That's how close he is to you. That's how interested he is in you as an individual. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll tell you how interested God is. He's interested enough that he'll let you in on things if you'll keep your mouth shut. Amen? And some of you that's wondering about your children and wanting to know about your children, God knows where your children are all the time. And if he could trust you, he'd tell you where they're at. Amen? He would reveal to you. He would make known to you. He would show you. See, God, I want you to understand that God is to you what he promised to be to you, see? He is this kind of a God. He's personally interested in you. If our God knows when a sparrow falls to the ground, if our God knows when a lily bows its head and dies, if our God understands all of this, then how much more does he take an interest in your personal day-by-day activities, difficulties, problems, needs, whatever it might be, God is there and he knows. And I want you to start practicing that. I want you to talk to him. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Now, I told you I'd close and I am. Some of you people are trying your best to quit worrying. And I got news for you, you're not ever going to quit until you get to the place you can say, I'm not going to worry about that because the Lord's promised to take care of me. And Lord, I'm going to walk with you today and you take care of me. Amen? Now, there's some things the devil just worry you nuts over if you'll let him. But I've made up my mind. And by God's help and grace, I'm not. Oh, there are times that I get tired and weary, and I'll worry about something for a while, but I'll catch myself, and I'll get alone. And I don't go in and get down on my knees and start bawling, squalling, praying. See, this is the thing about it. Don't get me wrong. Praying at an altar, praying in your closet of prayer, this is important. But see, I'm talking about you need to get to a place with God that you know is there and say, Lord, help me to quit worrying about this. Take care of this. I'm just going to turn this over to you. Take care of it. Amen? You say, but Brother Glenn, what if he don't? Where's your faith? Amen? Where is your faith? God will take care of it. Do you believe that all things work together for good to them who love God and who are called according to his purpose? Amen? You know, there's a lot of people today, they're all down in the dumps about the elections and all this kind of stuff. Let me tell you, there's somebody pulling strings that's a lot bigger than Jimmy Carter or Gerald Ford won. Amen? And I'm glad he's in control because I got news for you. I don't trust either one of those motor scooters. Amen? But it's someone bigger than that that has got control of this whole situation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And someone said, oh, but this one, let me tell you something, friend. There are more Christians on the face of the earth today than's ever been since there's been a world. And I believe that with all my heart. I truly believe that. I believe there are more Christians in the city of New Orleans tonight than there's ever been in the city of New Orleans. Now, if God's not more concerned about us now than he was when this thing was in a worse mess than what it is now, then God's not very much of a God. Isn't that right? So I got news for you. I sat up last night and watched it because I wanted to see how it was going to come out. But I laid down worried about it about 2 minutes and went on to sleep. Left in the hands of God. Amen? And that's exactly what I'm going to do. You know, so let me tell you something, friend. God's in control. Hallelujah! Oh, man, I'm just now getting to my real message, I'll tell you. But but let me tell you something. They don't know it. But the whole bunch of them is working in the interest of the kingdom of God because God's got a little job down here for the church of the living God to do, and he ain't nothing going to stop this church until the church completes the work that God's called it to do. Hallelujah. And it's going to march on and march on and march on until victory is won. Glory, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory be to God. Glory be to God. Sure, I prayed. I've been praying for months about it. But it's in the hands of a great big God. My Bible tells me he knows how to pick them up and he knows how to let them down. Amen. He can exalt them or he can take the rug out from under them, Brother Fortenberry. And that's exactly what I believe. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you, there was a time that I worried about the economy. I worried about everything. And when everything was running so smooth that there wasn't anything to worry about, then I worried because there was nothing to worry about. Now, that's the truth. That's my nature. And I want you to know I was climbing the walls all the time. I was a nervous wreck. But I finally one day realized, bless God, I'm here under divine appointment. And communism? no other kind of ism is going to stop us until we finish the work God called us to do. Amen? Hallelujah. God's got a message that he wants out to the world. Now then, if we all sit down and fold our hands and say, well, bless God, we're just as big as we want to get. We don't want to worry about anything else. We're not going to try to build any more churches. We're not going to try to reach the world. But I got news for you, friend. As long as we got a burden, hallelujah, not just for our own families, not just for our own city,
But we got a burden for the world, hallelujah, that this world be reached with a gospel message. I want you to know that God is going to cause all things to work together for good to us. It may not seem so at some times, but I've got news for you, it will. And so when you leave here tonight, friend, I don't care what your battle is, you just say to the devil, devil, I'm a part of the church of the living God, and I can't drag my feet because we got places to go, and we got things to do, hallelujah, and we're going on. And I want you to know that Jesus is with me, and I'm going to obey him. When you start practicing, when you start living, when you start recognizing that God's with you all the time, friend, you're going to start walking on the mountaintop. Amen? Hallelujah. I quit. Bow your heads.